Welcome back to Shooting Through the Gears. I'm Kyoshin Sakura. Today we have back again, but for the first time for you guys, Mr. Cam Saunders. How you doing, Cam?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Not bad. I got my coffee. It's early in the morning. Sun's out. I'm happy.
Same here. Only on the weekends, though. No coffee during the week.
Oh, mine's a daily. I have to. That's my thing. I get my coffee.
Yeah.
I'm on the train. That's my treat
Yeah.
for the week.
Oh,
But I make
shit.
it at home, so
Nice.
I don't go buy coffee.
Okay.
I
Yeah,
got
that
the
shit's too expensive.
dude. It's insane. It's $4 for a small coffee at Dunkin' Donuts now. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'll just $8. I go eight, $10. I go get a pound. I'm good.
Yeah, make it at home.
So something I started doing recently is video. So if anybody watches it on YouTube, that the F1 cars behind you, that's badass.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
I like the shirt. I've seen it before, but I still like the shirt. So, like I said, I know we did this before, but for them, let's give them a quick rundown on how we met and all that. So we met. Was it in a AATW lobby?
Yeah, we got into, well, essentially I got invited from a guy I used to sim race with into the league and hopped in one of those guys and essentially, yeah, met you through it, met a lot of the other guys on the Asleep at the Wheel sim racing league.
I think it's cool how spread out that league is. Like, we've got all over the US. We've got some people in like Europe and South America and stuff. It's pretty Australia, I think we have a couple. It's pretty spread
Yeah,
out.
that's what I love about sim racing. You get to race around people all around the world.
This is it. I saw another story recently. I think you probably heard of it. There's a kid who was playing, and he like the kid was slapping laps, but there was this guy who was just sitting on his bumper the whole time and ended up being a pro driver. No clue who this,
Oh.
because they a lot of them go under fake names,
Yeah,
so they
right.
don't, so they don't get hounded. But I was like, dude, that's lit. Like, that's something cool. Is you could be just two normal Joes. You could be an owner of a company. You could be a pro driver. You can run
Yep.
into the same lot, which is pretty neat.
Yep.
So what was that, GT Sport?
Gran Turismo Sport. Yeah, that's what we were on. Have a good time there. A lot of great racing action and fair and no dirty drivers.
Thankfully. So let's see. So what really got you into cars? Because I know most of us who play any kind of car games or are into cars in general, most of us have played or played some car game. What got you into the automotive scene?
When I was a little kid, my dad had a Nissan 240Z. Used to give me a ring, right?
Can't.
Such a good looking car. But he used to have us riding in the back. Well, there was no real back seat, but our heads would be bouncing off the back glass window as we got rides. Like that car, I remember being like the car. In my memory, and my dad would take us to a place in Virginia called Summit Point, and we'd go watch the
Yes.
Can-Am racing out there, see the Z's out there, and so like that was sort of the beginning of my interest in cars.
It helps you got. You were introduced with, which I think is one of the most badass cars ever made. It wasn't super fast to nowadays standard, but it was a solid performing
It's a
car back
solid
then.
car, right? Solid
And they
performing
just
car.
some of the stuff they do now, like I would take a bone stock 240Z right now as a daily driver and not care. I just love the car.
Right?
Well,
Simple and
summer
nice
car.
lines.
Summer
Yeah,
car. We
summer
know what it's
car.
like in the snow. It's the way they did the new, on a side note, the way they did the new 400. I like how they took bits and pieces from every Z generation,
Yeah.
which is a
It looks
nice.
mostly like a 240, 260, 280Z, but like also kept some of like the 80s designs in it, but like the silhouette is more 240Z.
That's what I think I love
So.
is Nissan's always had solid lines, but man, that's yeah. I got you grew up around like imports, and I'll say imports and like road racing. I grew up around muscle cars and drag racing. And what I want to
Okay.
clarify, when I say muscle cars, I don't mean the current, I call them tuner muscle cars.
Like the
It's like a,
classics, like
carbureted,
Mustangs. Yeah.
big blocks, all motor. Like if they had something that was a supercharger and that was high in hell, high on high water, they didn't, they weren't gonna run it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I grew up around like drag race and cars and coffin, like street scene where like some of our like cruise nights, but you know, back in the day, our cruise nights now and cruise nights then are just completely different. Is
Yeah.
they'd block up, not so much block, but they'd have cops at different markers, intersections. They'd have volunteers. So if you wanted to take your car out, you could run and give people rides. Like, you know, stick the 8-year-old kid in the seat, strap him in, and they let you do a quick like 300-foot pull or first second pull just because they wanted to grow. So that was
Yeah.
cool. That's where I grew up around. So I grew up around like drag racing and muscle cars. So I went out of it. What did I do automatically? Imports.
Yeah.
My dad's like, why do you like imports, dude? I'm like, well, what do we grow up around? This. Okay, what are you driving? Driving a Isuzu, Dad. Well, his dad was in a Isuzu. He used to have like a 67 Plymouth Satellite or something like 66, 67, something like that. So I think that's what made me just love imports and road racing more, is because it was different than what I knew.
Yeah.
But that's cool that you got to grow up around that and your dad was into that, because not many people are. Like, we're a pretty small community in aspect of what's around the world.
Yeah, true, true. You know, I luckily when I got a little bit older and we moved, we had a neighbor across the street. He had a 1971 Dodge Charger that he swapped. He's
Dude.
the thing was like in like perfect condition, but he swapped a 446 pack engine into it and like had drag slicks. So I got to see him up at he had moved to Minnesota. There's a racetrack up there north of the city. It's called Brainerd International Raceway, and a neighbor is his name was Rob Walker, and he we went and watched it. We would also go up and watch the big guys in HRA drags as well. So I got to get a little bit of both
Okay.
of the imports with my dad having that, and I mean that was like early when I was like 3 or 4, but like as I was 10 to 10, 11, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, my neighbor, I was around him with that Charger. He also had a Plum Crazy Cuda.
He had a PCP CUDA?
And yeah, and
Oh,
then
man.
he also was going, he was restoring a Duster as well, which he just recently completed. You know, his kids are off and on their own and all that now, but I got to see like within the last couple of years that he finished that Cuda, like professional paint. The thing is cherry.
Like some of those cars are just becoming more and more hard to find, and it makes me want.
Yeah.
I've been looking at, I don't know if you've ever done it, but like I'll go and you want a, you know, you want a CUDA, but you don't want to pay CUDA price.
Of course.
So I've just been looking at the oddball cars now, like some of the stuff
Yeah.
that not many people looked at, like just the oddball cars I've been looking at, because you feel like the, was it the, for a long time it was a Dodge Demon. Nobody knew, heard of a Dodge Demon.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what the fuck that is, but they heard of the Charger, so everybody wanted the Charger, but they didn't know the
Yep.
Demons came with just as powerful of a nearly powerful motor. So some guys would, my auto teacher had it. He had a, that's the first time I ever saw a Dodge Demon. We helped him
Okay.
restore it, so like we helped him tear it down, prep it. Him and his buddy hand built the motor, blueprinted it, put it in, sent it off for paint, brought it back. We helped buff the car and put it back together. It was super cool.
That's cool.
So he
To
had a
be him being
bu
up.
he had the stuff, like he had a couple, like was he had a, I think he had a Willie, he had a Plymouth GTX. He just had some of the, I think some of the most iconic key muscle cars, and he had them. Like just old dude. His wife thought he had four. He had a warehouse of 14. His wife didn't know about. But her rule was you can only keep three at the house. She has the perfect
Okay.
car. He goes,
Yeah.
fine. So she they would go down as couples and to like Route 66 Speedway, a dragway,
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
they would each run a car. So for years, like he used to do like semi-pro and pro drag racing. But yeah, it's speaking of the car down the street, like what you grew up around, there's a guy around the corner that's got a Cobra kit car, like
Yeah.
a Shelby Cobra.
Shelby Cobra kit car, yeah.
Bro, and then he's got a built Evo. His neighbor's got a built for Cage Forester.
Oh gosh.
Like he drives around a diesel 2500 Ram or Chevy, and then
Yeah.
one his daily's a Tundra, like a loaded Tundra. They dudes, like they do all their own work, so it's like it's pretty neat. So I have no idea what the hell he does for a living, but he'll like you'll see him give kids in the neighborhood a ride in the car when he has the
Yeah.
shell on, but he'll just take it out
Yeah.
naked, just the cage.
Yeah. Just
I'm like,
the
you're a maniac, sir.
cage.
But it's cool. There's a
Yeah.
it helps ha growing up around the automotive scene where you get the bits and pieces. I feel like really it opens it up, because I feel like for years, especially when we were younger, you're a little older than I am, I think, but not much. But when we were younger, like if you were in drag racing for the most part, you spent your time in on that side. You didn't really.
Yeah.
Now it's more social media. It helps, like the last probably 20 years,
Yeah,
15 years. I think
definitely.
it's grown up just because tracks are closing down, so now we're having to run drag and drift events. We're having to run drift and circuit racing events. Like, have you
Yeah.
ever heard of grid life? I think I mentioned before, like grid life.
Yeah,
So,
we've got a couple that come out here. I would like to get to, get to one of them, but other events have arisen, so I choose those over that because sometimes I hear the crowd can get a little crazy and it gets a little busy and I may.
the Colorado one, when they went there, it was a little rowdy.
Yeah.
But a lot of times that's at like 10, 11 o'clock at night. So during the day, it's
Yeah.
everybody's super family friendly. A lot of the drivers themselves, they bring out their family and kids. But like, a lot of times you'll end up just meeting like a pro driver. There's a guy in there. I'm just gonna stick with like there's a Honda driver. One of his buddies brings his whole family out. So like his wife and kids helping him on the car and stuff, but when he's racing or at night, they'll just go in the trailer because they bring like RVs
Yeah.
and cars and
Yeah, they got those transporters so they can just hang out there.
I call bullshit on grassroots. Once you have a camper and an RV, like you are talking an RV, like a
Yeah,
hauler,
you
you're not
that's not
grassroots
grass.
anymore.
Yeah, that's they're hustling to try and make all the ends meet, that's for sure.
And don't get me wrong, I think it's cool. I just think it kind of draws a line at when you have a $500,000 setup, you're kind of not a grassroots. Like I think you're in the pro-am level, like
Right.
as far as your
You're
top
working with
drivers.
sponsors to pay
Yeah,
this and pay entry fees and all that stuff. You just got to get there. Yeah.
it's nuts, man.
It is.
Say, because you're not far from PPIR, right? You're like as far as
Yes. Yeah.
like.
I'm 40 minutes, 35, 40 minutes to Pikes Peak International Raceway.
Dude, that's got to be awesome. Have you ever gone to see the hill climb?
I have not seen the hill climb. It's been something I've been wanting to do. Just trying to figure out how to do it. I've got one friend that says you gotta camp and you gotta go up to like Devil's Playground and hang out there and watch. But it's like if you go up there, they let you go up there at like 2 o'clock in the morning
And
and
you're
you have to
done for the
stay
day.
there. And you're staying there for the whole day. So you bring your food, you bring everything up there. To park and sit and watch all the cars come up. Now, the last couple of years, it's well, with the exception of this 2023 year, it snowed or it was foggy or rainy.
That's what I
So
heard. It was
if you're up
miserable.
there, it could be miserable. So, but you could stand at the start line. There's food vendors and merchandise vendors, and you get to see all the cars leave, and you can leave at the same time. Like you're not stuck there. So I kind of want to do both. We always go down. We've gone the last 2 or 3 years, gone down to downtown the week or the Friday before they have the Fan Fest. So last year, Ken Block, rest in peace, he had his car that Porsche Hoonipig. Or Pegasus or whatever they called it, that was down there. And then this year, Layla Block, his daughter, was down there, just to see all the race cars that are going up there. So it's a great event for another event to get kids into cars or racing.
Yeah, and I feel like it's something that, especially for the locals, like it's a huge staple. Like,
The racing heritage and history in Colorado is kind of like on the low key
It's deep.
side. It's deep. Like the Colorado Springs, where the Porsche dealership that's in Colorado Springs, that is actually called Porsche of Colorado because of the Pikes Peak hill climb, and the racing is synonymous with that. Like the
Okay.
Denver one is not Denver, it is just Porsche of Denver. So that just kind of tells you how important the racing is in the state and this area. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. There's a lot of history that once you start digging, or you start listening, like I listen to a ton of pod an ignorant amount of podcasts. I don't even listen to music really anymore. I listen to podcasts
Okay.
all day long. Like it's just I
Yeah.
like it because I can pull information. So,
Yeah, it's a great way to pull information. Yep.
like, and it helps because it gives me ideas for this. It gives me ideas of. Like I really do want to get a car ready for like I'm building an overland rig, like a not crazy one. Like I know y'all got some nut ones out there.
Dude, they're everywhere out here. It's
Like
crazy.
mine's gonna be
And I
like a
can't
mild one.
tell. I can't tell if they're just posers because they've got the gas cans, extra gas cans, and they're just like, I'm gonna trick it out. I mean, I could kind of tell the ones that are actually get out because they've got like the bash bars and those are all scraped up and whatnot. But I guess there's some out there that just kind of go easy.
Yeah, like the terrain I have out here, I'd be on the easier side. We have some trails that get a little heavier, like they have crawlers that have a hard time. But like these are courses that we're constructing. Like somebody owns land and they're constructing easy, medium, and hard trails.
Oh, okay.
So like it's
That's
cool
pretty
where
cool.
we can get the experience. They sucks because it's an hour and a half away, but that's what it is. But like
Right.
yeah.
I mean, hour and a half ain't that bad. If you get up and you leave the house by like 6 or 6:37, you're there by 8. You can have a full day and drive, or even a half day and drive back if you don't break anything.
Yeah, I stay on the easy side because I have the daily drive mine. So like, yeah, I'll get
Yeah.
ideas for like off-road, like overland rigs and camping ideas to like autocross and stuff. Just different podcasts I listen to. Well, one of them was I didn't know. I think Chicago had the first ever road race in America, and it was from Chicago to Elmhurst, and it
Okay.
took them like 10 hours. Their average speed was like 11 miles an hour. It was horrible.
Oh,
I
man.
think it was back. I'm gonna be super wrong. It was like the 30s, the 20s, or 30s or something, like way
Okay.
back, like
Way back.
over 800 years ago.
Okay.
So they're actually we're gonna recreate it. There's a Cars and Coffee group that runs out of Oak Park. They're gonna recreate that from the starting point in Chicago, and they're gonna rally it as like a whole car group. They're gonna rally and
Okay.
recreate that same course to the
Oh,
best of their
sweet.
ability, because I think almost all those same roads exist. But yeah, it's stuff like that. Like I didn't know that. I never knew that. I had never known
Yeah.
that. I've lived here for 33 years, but it's cool. Like you don't realize the history unless you, like you said, you grew up around it, or you were taught
Yeah.
it, or you
Yep.
spent days researching. But I think that's a pretty damn kick-ass way to get involved in automotive scene. Like you had one of the coolest cars ever made growing up around, for me personally. You got the experience of drag and circuit. You live in a state that's got great history. I think that's pretty cool, man. That's a really neat way to get involved and be taught.
I'm lucky to be here. I found my way to Colorado, and because it's the place I was before. Well, it was Hawaii for all of all places. There's
Oh, man.
no, there's yeah, I know. That's beautiful beaches, and all that stuff, but there is a heavy car scene out there, but there's no racetracks on Oahu. So
Is
I
it
would
is there
show.
any racetracks in any of the islands?
Yeah, that's the irony of it all. Like Maui, Big Island, Kauai, those are the main other three islands. They all have a drag strip or some sort of a track. I think Big Island has two of them because it's so big. So you've got all those drag strips or whatever on those tracks, but like Oahu, where all the military are, because you got a bunch of young military or car guys, there's no
Definitely.
track there. So it winds up breeding a ground of street racing, and I'm fine with incriminating myself. I was part of that. I'm still kind of part of that. It's still that to me,
Hey,
that
Hawaii statue's
grassroots
over,
side.
man.
Yeah. But being in Colorado, it's got the best of everything. and I love being here, so.
That's fantastic, man. That's really neat, I think. So I know you like to tinker. I know you, for those who don't know, I got to learn this last time. You have your own company.
Yes, my brother and I own and operate an appliance repair company, and
So I think that's pretty cool. So I feel like it, I don't want to say it gives you more time, but it gives you a little bit of your freedom, so to speak. I know you're probably
yeah.
stupid busy. But I know you like to tinker, so you like to fix stuff, you like to travel. I know you've got a pretty neat little vehicle lineup.
Yeah, I
So what's
mean,
your lineup for these people that don't know? Because I think it's pretty cool.
my daily driver is a 2015 Ram 1500. It's in ceramic blue is the color. It's one of like 500 model or one of 500 made. I didn't really seed it out or sort it out or whatever. I just saw the color. I'm like, that's not white, it's not black, it's not red, it's not dark blue.
Or
It
silver,
was
just
or silver, right, exactly. So I started looking into it in 2015. They did like a neon green, a neon orange, a certain red, a yellow, a black, and then this ceramic blue. And the total, they made like 2,500 to 3,000 of the whole color run. And I think they say mine is like one of 500. It's bone stock. I just put in new Alpha Rex headlight housings in because the stock projectors sucks. But other than that, it's stock. It's the work hauler. It's the family hauler. First truck I've ever had. The wife has a Mazda CX-5. She loves that little thing.
Dude,
It's
those are
perfect
actually
right
getting
now.
so neat. Mazda's impressed me a lot.
I'm impressed by Mazda. Yes, I would. Yeah, we could go into a whole new other episode for on Mazda stuff.
Really
Not
could.
that I know a lot, but yeah. So, and then my fun car is my 2017 Volkswagen Golf R. I've been into Volkswagens for over 20 years. I've had my first one was a 337 and Mark 337 edition Mark IV. Well, it was one of 1500. The next one after that was a 2004 Volkswagen R32, deep blue pearl. And then I had a Mark V GLI, a Mark VI GLI. I had two Mark VI GLIs. Then my wife has had an A3. I mean, this can kind of go on for the Volkswagens. But with the GLI, the Jetta GLI, I did Lyft and Uber full time on that. And I was also building it as a race car, not like an official race car, but hobbyists upgrading it, making it go faster, taking it out and running some fools,
Surprising
and
people.
surprising people. I wound up with that because it was a Gen 3 engine which is like the MQB Mark 7 GTI engine without the variable valve timing on the exhaust side. No one came out with a turbo upgrade with it because it was different than the turbos for Mark 7s.
Okay.
So a group of us, one guy started it, but figured out that, oh, it's pretty much it's the same block. We can bolt a GTI turbo to it or a Golf R turbo to it. So I kind of met a couple other guys through the internet, and we started a group called Project Gen 3 GLI. And through all of that, like we figured out the parts that we needed to get in order to convert and make this sort of unofficial conversion a thing. And I mean, with my car, I wound up building it. It made about 450 horsepower, 450 torque.
That's
I had
pretty
water.
damn impressive.
Yeah, the car, it was white. I had gold RPF ones on it because those things weighed like 15 and a half pounds each. And by day, I would be doing Lyft and Uber in Honolulu. And then that night, I'd take it out and be running like 600 horsepower supercharged Camaros.
Jeez.
And, some CTSVs, full bolt-ons that were like, 600, again, somewhere around 550, 600 horsepower. Hanging with them or beating them, and opened some eyes, and it kind of was like limited because there was no tuning option to go past with that new turbo. So we were using like a off-the-shelf stage two, and then I would use JB4, which is a piggyback that would allow me to up the fueling and up the boost on top, or they called stacking, on top of the off-the-shelf tune. So I did get a pretty decent custom tune from a company called Malone Tuning. I stopped doing it. So there's other companies. There's guys. I've got a guy that Charlie. He's put an all-wheel drive swap into a JLI, and then he's got like a DBV2 big turbo on it, and he's custom tuning it right now. So they're still, those guys are still pursuing it. I wound up getting out because the car wound up getting rear-ended and being totaled.
Oh man.
I know it. Well, we were planning on moving here to Colorado already. I was trying to sell it. It sounds like it was like planned, but maybe, the universe, the big man upstairs had better plans. So it got rear-ended, it creased the C pillars, and they totaled it out. I parted it out, and insurance paid out as well. So I walked away, paid, and helped us move over here to Colorado. And then it was get myself established here. And I'd get my goal after that was to buy and build a Golf R. And 2 years after that, 2 years after arriving in Colorado, I had bought a house and was about to move into it, and I wound up finding my Golf R in Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to Scott. He was the previous owner. It's black. It had DCC and ACC, which is DCC is the dynamic ride control, so I could set it to like comfort, standard, or race. So the suspension, it gets stiffer or softer.
Okay.
And then ACC is adaptive cruise control, which I didn't think I'd love that one feature. It's so much better than regular cruise control. So
So much, dude.
I want to try and retrofit it on the truck and everything I have because it just
It
figures
doesn't
out the
have it on the
car in
truck.
front of you. No, it's a
Oh, is it?
2015. Yeah, I know.
Oh, I think it was like 2 years after that, like the 18s or something
Yeah,
they put on.
18s. So, but it was like I wanted the loaded one, and 2017 was the last year before the facelift, which I'm not a fan of the seven, the Mark 7.5s,
Which one's
the
that look like?
2017s. Yeah, they the 2017s kind of have a bumper that, I mean, I'm not a huge, I'm a Star Wars fan, but not like super huge. The front end looks like Vader's,
Oh, yeah, okay.
yeah, so it looks just menacing to me. So I got it in black because I was like, I want a black car. And I know everybody says don't buy a black car, but it's a
They're
small
so,
eggshell car.
they look so good clean. They just
Right,
can't be
exactly.
kept clean.
Exactly. Like, I still need to take the time to do a two-step paint correction and ceramic coating. There's some paint chips here and there. But
I mean, you when you
yeah.
drive the car, it's gonna ha or the car is driven, it's gonna happen. But when you have that first nick, that
Yeah.
first chip, that first scratch, you're like, now I can
Yeah.
drive this car.
But it came with that stuff. Like there was a scratch on the passenger door, there's a scratch, there's chips on the hood. So I'm like, you know what? It's for me, it's not a show car. It's a go out and run it car. Like I
Oh,
don't need
absolutely.
to have it hard parked and looking good. It looks good as it on its own. So I got that. The previous owner, he had forged rods and pistons that he had bought and was going to put in the car. And he's like, "Do you want them?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "All right, an extra $500." So I got that with it, and that sort of just started the path down building the engine.
A snowball.
So it snowballed. Yeah. Well, that, and I was about to do a track day, and I was like, "All right, had the car a few weeks, maybe a month. And the night before, I was like, I'm gonna take it out and kind of like push it hard to see if anything breaks, because I hadn't really shook it down yet. And it wound up blowing the turbo, basically.
Oh, been there.
And so, yeah, I'm like, well, I'm glad I did it here close to home and not 2 hours away. We were going to a different track. So that's it. A lot of things sort of saved me. So I was like, all right, parked it, started the plan to build it. Got in contact with this a guy named Deloy, and he's another guy in de up in Denver that he's got a Golf R that makes 700, 800 horsepower. Connected up with him to and commissioned him and another place called Performance Porting to build the engine. So I put the car up on jacks and proceeded to disassemble the engine. Now I've done plenty of turbo swaps for the MQB Mark 7 Golfs or Audi S3s. So I knew my way around the engine bay,
That is right. The Audi. Okay,
yeah, all
I'm
that
horrible
stuff's kind of
matching up the
shared.
chassis between Volkswagen and Audi, even though they look relatively the same. I'm just not a Volkswagen guy.
Right.
I've never owned one.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever own a Volkswagen unless it's like, by the time I buy one, it'll probably be Mark 5, where they're
Yeah. Okay.
affordable. But it's just I don't have the space for it because I've got that thing that needs to go to paint, this thing I need to get on the road, that
You
white thing
got
in the
too many
corner I need
projects.
tires. Yeah,
You got
and
too many
I'm.
projects. Like my motto is one project at a time. Complete one project before you start another. And I know there's plenty of memes out there that they're like, I've got three cars sitting home, but I want another project car. I'm like, I can't relate to that because I stick to one project. I do it right. It might take me a little longer, but you get it done and you get to enjoy it before starting another project. So lesson out
Exactly.
there to anybody else that's listening,
Listen
stick
to
to
him.
one project and finish it. You'll save a lot mo less money, and your wife will be a lot ha more happy that you just have one project at a time.
Yep, like this one behind me. That one just, I need tires, brakes, and take it to the DMV to title it or like get new
Okay.
plates. So that this one's easy. This one
Yeah.
I've been pushing it off because like I don't need it. I've got a daily driver. But when
Okay.
I get that running, my cousin's gonna drive it, or I'm gonna drive it and set my Outback so I can do the suspension and all that throughout the winter and take my time. The
Okay.
bike's easy. I really just need a tire.
Okay.
But if the tire's coming off, I want to do the tire, a chain, fluids, do the whole maintenance package, because then I'm done
Yeah.
for like 3 years. I don't ride
Three or
much. I
four
ride
years, right.
maybe 500, 600 miles a year.
Okay.
I might ride more now that my schedule changed, where as you know, I was working overnights, or like
Yeah.
I was working second shift, so I wouldn't get home till at the earliest midnight, other times 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. So you can't really ride. Your neighbor, neighbors in an HOA really don't like when you take a bike that's as loud as a Harley at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, I'm half clutching, just trying to keep it rolling so I don't make noise.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, definitely follow his advice one at a time. No, somebody's leaving. They were just saying goodbye.
No, okay.
Yeah, no, it's definitely like, yeah, stick to one car at a time. Or if you have
Stick to one
to,
car.
make sure they both run. Like
Yeah.
that one is
Yeah.
as old as I am. So I get an excuse on that. I made a mistake. I got the car half apart, and then somebody then told me, oh, there's a bad ground wire inside the harness nobody knows about unless you're a Toyota tech.
Oh.
So I figured, well, it's a part, I'm just gonna do what I want. So we'll talk about that another day. But yeah, no, it's definitely, it's always fun having projects, but it's more fun when you finish a project. My rule is, if it runs and drives and you're on your last two steps, you can drive the car. But say
Yeah.
you want to swap the bumpers or whatever, like a facelift where it's minor and you can do it in a weekend, then yeah, you can
Right.
buy a second one because you don't need to. You can pull it out, you can pull it in.
Yeah, you can pull it out. It drives under its own power.
Yeah, that's this one.
So
Like,
it,
once you hit that
there you
point,
go.
the legal, you can take it out, you can let somebody, sorry, borrow the car, whatever, sure, but always limit it to, like you said, something to float away. If you don't want to have 5, 6, 7, 8 projects. I don't
Yeah.
have that space. I've got a 2-car garage. This is it.
Yeah.
So no, that's pretty neat
Yeah.
though. Like, You, I watched, I looked back at your Instagram and stuff and some of the stuff you put on Discord, man, that I showed my buddy that and he goes, this guy's a fucking maniac. And he had a golf arm till he blew the, he, something blew.
Okay.
And he's like, it's, you can't get, I guess you guys have like, some, Volkswagen is a weird, you, they build those motors so weird. Basically, it's like something went wrong with the car and it was either sell the car or spend 4 grand fixing the car because one piece was $2,000. He's like, I love
Okay.
Volkswagens. It's not worth it. I need something I can get in and rely on. So he got a Fiesta.
Okay.
I was like, okay, I
Well,
can't hate on
here,
it.
that's the one thing that I always get talking to me about is like, oh, Volkswagens are unreliable. And I'm like,
Oh,
so my
I
first
made fun
few.
of him for years. And he's like, no,
Oh,
like,
dear.
he's like, they're good. It's just if something goes wrong, bad. It's.
No, that, but you can't let it get to that point where it something goes wrong. If you do the maintenance on time or before, they will continue to rock and roll. Like you have to be mindful, treat it like you treat your body. Well, I know some people treat their bodies like shit,
Yes.
but like if you do the maintenance and you're listening, like you, the car will not let you down. And that's what it took, that kind of a car to help me learn, because I had Honda and a Subaru before, and the power steering pump was leaking on the Honda, and it took out the alternator. And this was when I was like 16. That put the car in the shop and the dealer for some reason. I took it to the dealer, but whatever.
We're 16, we're stupid.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I get a Volkswagen and I get into it, and the Volkswagen community was like, oh, you should do this. You got to do this. This is the things you, they were so open and helpful. I met a really good group of people when I got into Volkswagens and Audis, that they were welcoming and they were bestowing knowledge on me. So that really helped me keep my Volkswagens running and reliable. Like I, so
Yeah,
that's what I
he's
tell
had great
tell
luck. It was, I think this was his last straw because it left him on the side of the road at like 2 o'clock in the morning in the snowstorm or something. So
Oh.
he's like, it's done. I'm done. This is my only car. He goes,
Yeah.
I just need something to get into. And I was like, you're gonna get another one? He goes, let me finish the Supra. I'll get in. He's got an MK3.
Okay.
So like the this edgier one.
Yep. No, I got a
But
buddy, Dom, who's got one that makes about 720 horsepower.
yeah.
So,
I
yeah.
gotta see that thing. Let's pause here real quick. I'm gonna make a head
Okay.
out. We're gonna create a new room. I need to
Okay.
top off my coffee. So we'll be right
Okay.
back, guys.
We'll be right back.
Coffee, coffee, coffee.